HD Smartcast. You are listening to Health Shots brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another She Slays Champion story. This week on She Slays, we have with us Sandhya Krishnan. Sandhya was diagnosed with tuberculosis at a time when she least expected it. Early diagnosis helped her to seek effective treatment for TB or tuberculosis. Her experiences as a tuberculosis survivor allowed her to reflect, and today she herself has become a TB awareness advocate. Sandhya is a certified mind and wellness coach who has inspired several people to embark on the journey towards health and betterment. Come, let's listen to this champion story.
Hello there. My name is Sandhya Krishnan. I'm 45 years old. I'm a wellness and mindfulness coach. I live in Mumbai. And when I was 36 years old and the mother of two young children, I had tuberculosis. For starters, I wasn't diagnosed for the longest time. I had just started a new business. I was setting up the second of my retail stores, and there was so much of work going on. I was in a dusty and in a moldy location. I was coughing every day. I didn't even know about tuberculosis, to be honest. And I just ignored the symptoms for over 2 or maybe even 3 months until my staff, a family doctor and my spouse at the time forced me to go and get a chest x-ray. I was finally diagnosed probably a day or two before the grand opening of my store. So I really didn't know how to react. For starters, I was so weak. I was down to 41 kilos, coughing all the time. And at the time of my diagnosis, already had a perforated lung thanks to the disease. The doctor painted a very grim picture for me, but I remember that my first question was if I had endangered my family and my staff. And my second question, to my eternal shame, I guess, was if I could go back to work. He didn't feel the need to admit me because my strength overall was good, and so was my nutrition. But in retrospect, I can see how I could barely have the strength to get up. I did sleep it out for a couple of days, but then yes, I did feel like I just had a store to open and I had to go back. Honestly, at the time, my emotions were a blur. There was so much going on in my life already. You know, having a house to run, I had pets, I had staff, there were workers, there was sourcing to be done, and like I said, young kids, and I was a pretty hands-on a full-time mom in addition to my work. So there really wasn't time to process any of these feelings. I was blessed, I guess, to have a very hard-talking doctor, but he made no bones about the fact that I was very close to dying, and that if I didn't take care of myself, I could die. That's how much TB I had. He expressed his shock that I had been able to operate for as long as I had before coming in for treatment because of the amount of pain and the amount of coughing that I had. It was a blur. At the time, there wasn't very much awareness about TB. So, you know, I really didn't know about the symptoms of the disease. I didn't know how serious it was, how contagious it was. You just have these vague notions that you've heard from in movies or read in books. And I don't think I responded very well at all. I was outraged, I remember, sort of angry at myself. Looking for somebody to blame, somehow feeling like, you know, this was such an inconvenient time, and just the feeling that, oh God, this is something else I have to do and do on my own. I think primarily those were my feelings. For me, not operating was just not an option. Needless to say, this had a devastating impact on family and spouse. My mother is a microbiologist, and she works in Singapore where they have the highest standards of care and diagnosis. So she was most upset about the procedures that happened in India and very, very disapproving of it. So it sort of set her in a frenzy. Imagine seeing your daughter being treated in a way that was less than optimal according to your standards. I remember she would constantly call me and give me instructions about the diagnosis, the tests, ask me questions, and I was already so tired and, you know, in so much pain and bewildered about everything that was going on. I simply couldn't answer her questions, and I was getting fatigued and irritated as well with all of this. She finally did take a flight down to India and spend 3-4 days with me, but it was not a very restful time. Again, for her, it was more the helplessness of not being able to do what she knew as a doctor or what she felt as a doctor needed to be done. My husband, my extended family, we told very few people, to be honest. I did realize that there was a stigma around it. I remember that many of my relatives just didn't say the word TB. They just said, Sandhya is ill. It was not something that I discussed with anybody in the family. My husband at the time, he was just really, really busy with work, but he did offer me support. My kids were incredible. The doctor asked me to kind of stay away from them, although it probably was too late, you know, in terms of the fact that I had been living with the disease already for so many months. But kids can be incredibly intuitive. They were playful, you know, they're two little boisterous boys. So not being able to hug them when they came back from school or ask them about their day was hard. I did isolate myself from them for the first 2 weeks of my treatment. But even after that, they had such a quiet acceptance of what was going on with me. I remember the first day that I could hug my son. He was laughing about it and he pretended like he didn't want to hug me. And then he just grabbed me and, you know, I was laughing and crying at the same time, but I thought it was so beautiful. And to date, they are the pillars of strength for me and really the ones I go to when I'm emotionally overwrought. Like I said, there was very little information about TB in the public domain at the time. I was so busy, it didn't even strike me. I didn't even know, honestly, where to go looking for support. Simple things like just taking care of my health at the time, getting enough rest. Up until the time of my diagnosis, I was working out regularly and I did eat well, but I was under incredible stress and I took it on. You know, that feeling that I have to do this and without me, this whole ecosystem is going to collapse. That sense of I-ness and that sense of anxiety and staying up at night and, you know, dealing with people of different backgrounds, dealing with partners. I was very worried. I was terrified of having infected any of them, of having harmed them in any way. And also the after effects of the medication. I was on all four TB drugs. The after effects were devastating again. I was nauseous all the time. I was sweating like orange sweat. It was hard to eat. It was hard to nourish myself. And on top of that, I would forget to eat because I was at work. It was really tough to work, to run a house, to manage the multiple things that a working woman does and to deal with your health. It's not something that I would wish on anybody. For me, my absolute low point came about 2 months into my diagnosis. I sort of came to terms with the fact that I had a disease, that it was life-threatening. The doctor told me that I had a lot of TB in my lungs. But I thought that once I started the medication and, you know, I was being so brave and taking all the medicines on time, I kind of just felt I would start getting better, but I just didn't. 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months into treatment, and I felt as bad as ever. I was in as much pain, and I just didn't feel like I was rounding a corner, turning a bend, or, you know, sort of seeing light at the end of the tunnel. To me, that was my absolute low point, where I really wondered whether I would make it at all. Tremendous guilt that I hadn't taken care of myself both before the diagnosis and after, that I'd continued working. It was just crushing. I can't even describe that feeling. And to my doctor's credit, he didn't treat it as MDR-TB or multi-drug resistant or multi-drug resistant TB. He just said, look, this just looks like you have a lot of TB and that's why it's taking so long. Giving up was not an option for me. Like I said, you know, I had two young kids. We didn't have family in the city, and I had a business that I had just sort of given life to. So I had reasons for living, but I did really wonder whether I would make it. And that's when I realized that something's got to give, and I was doing something wrong, and it wasn't just about me taking my medications on time. That's really when I sat up and said, I have to look at the rest of my life and how my mind is working and how my stress levels and how my constant need to do and to work and to be busy was also impacting the way I was healing from the disease and the way I was responding to treatment. I didn't take care of my mental health and paid a huge price for it. I think just having so much stress and anxiety, I see now how having all of these hormones raging through your body actually lowers your immunity. It's inflammation that's constantly in your body. Your body's constantly looking out for threat with not enough time of rest, digest, relax. And a body that's constantly under threat is a body that's actually even more vulnerable because the inflammation levels are so high. And also not intuitively listening to the signals of your body. I was coughing for close to 3 months before I finally got a proper diagnosis. I sort of went to one of these little clinics where there was an elderly doctor and she just gave me some generic colored pills and told me I was going to be fine. And, you know, I just wanted to tick a box as far as taking care of it was concerned. That showed my mental attitude. I think we have to be in tune. The slightest sort of fluctuations in our hormones does manifest. You'll see it in your anger, you'll feel it in your sadness, you'll sense it in your tiredness, you'll see it in how your body and your skin are responding to your environment. Over time, it becomes like a hormonal imbalance. A thyroid isn't just a thyroid gland that's malfunctioning. There is very often a reason for it, which is in your lifestyle. And it isn't just about taking medication to correct that. It really is understanding what is off whack, what is out of balance in our lifestyle that needs correcting, that needs addressing. So for me, perhaps it was mindfulness first, and meditation came very much later for me, and even that in very unorthodox ways. That's the path I'm on today to help people find their own unique way of finding something that fits into their lifestyle, finding what's important for them, and finding what's sustainable and practical for them, and learning how to prioritize these things. That's really the work that I do today, and I find it tremendously fulfilling and gratifying. I have three things that I'd like to say. Number one, even before you fall ill, God forbid, learn to get in touch with your body and mind. Like I said, look out for symptoms, not out of anxiety or worry, but just get in tune with your body. I think we sense these things and we just take care of things symptomatically at best, or even ignore those. Don't. Everything that goes on in your body, it's a sign, it's telling you of something. Not to be a hypochondriac about it, but you'll know. The definition of disease literally could be dis-ease. There is something that is off whack, off balance, and tune into that and really try and get to the cause of it, the root of it. When you do have a diagnosis, for me, a large part of it is just to be able to sit with it, deal with the emotions around it, grieve if you must, feel sorry if you must, you know, give yourself some self-love. Don't castigate yourself. Don't blame yourself. Don't look for something or someone else to blame for it. But process all of these emotions and then tell yourself, number three would be to get the help that you need. Do not feel that this is something, a journey that you need to walk alone. I walked it alone for a year and it was the loneliest year of my life. Today, thanks to the internet, thanks to support group, thanks to greater awareness with every kind of disease, you will find support groups everywhere. So even if you feel like there's a taboo in your immediate circle, do know that there are ways you can anonymously reach out, that there is information available. For TB survivors like us and TB advocates, we do provide support groups, we do provide a helpline. So use whatever energy you have to look after yourself first and to reach out and get the help that you need. And know that even after the darkest of nights, a dawn will come. I wish each of you the very best of health and wellness. Thank you so much.
So this was Sandhya's story. A true She Slays fighter indeed. We hope her story inspired you and encourages you to take better care of your health. If you too have a story to tell, then do write to us at healthshots@hindustantimes.com and let us tell your story to the world. Till then, stay tuned in and don't forget to like, share and subscribe to She Slays. This is your host Chai Dabas signing off. I will see you next week. Till then, take care and keep slaying.
You were listening to Health Shots, brought to you by HD Smartcast. HD Smartcast.